Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to City Light Church. We're so glad that in the midst of these really different and difficult trying times that we can still meet together as a church and be encouraged by God's Word and Holy Spirit. So we just invite you to join in every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., our regular church time, and just hear the Word of God together as a church.
You know, if there's two words we're always hearing constantly, these two words are unprecedented and the other is uncertain. And certainly we are living in these types and kinds. This is our environment right now. So in these difficult times, I want to challenge you to stay calm, to stay cool, stay collected, and stay connected. So important for us to be connected and, you know, through the church. And, you know, we can't do that in person. But listen, we can do that online virtually through our Zoom small groups. We have several that are meeting throughout the week. And you can get connected to one simply by calling the church office, and they'll send you a link and you can just join us. You know, we'd love to see your smiling faces. Yes. We'd love to give you a hug, because that's what church is all about. On Sunday mornings, we smile at each other, we hug each other, but we can't do that in person, but we can do that virtually online. So please do that. Join one of our small groups. Yes. We'd love to see you there.
So good. And we also like to give you opportunity to give in these different, again, difficult and just really trying times. There are many people out there who just are experiencing real need in the area of groceries, just basic daily needs and medication and different things like that. And we, through CLC Cares, that's a City Light Church ministry, have set up 3 drop-off times at our church, at City Light Church, where you can drop off dry goods, groceries, grocery carts, so that we can just meet these needs practically for our community, the people around us, our friends, and our family. And we just encourage you to do that. There are times set up on the website and our Facebook page where you can find out where you can drop off these things. And we just really want to be the church in these days and help those that are out there that have needs. So we encourage you to do that. Let's be the church. Let's help. Let's get involved in the community, just in whatever ways that we can, just small practical ways. And let's just enjoy God's Word right now.
God bless you. See you soon online.
Welcome to City Light Church Online. I'm Pastor Doug Shimoda. Today I want to talk to you about the challenge of storms. You know, there's an old proverb. It's an old Arab proverb, and it goes this way: all sunshine and no rain makes for a desert. In other words, life is all about ups and downs. It's about good times, bad times, highs and lows, mountains, valleys, and it's about calms and storms. So today I want to take you into this theme called the challenge of storms. You know, even in the darkest hour, God says that I am there and that I am there with you. So I want to take you to a story in the Bible that I think is very applicable to these times. It's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 22. It goes this way: one day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and started out. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap, but a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. Now I want to stop there. Here's a few facts. Fact is that Jesus is the one who told them to get into that boat. Now, he probably knew that there was going to be a storm, but yet he told them, get into the boat and go to the other side. So, 3 things. Number one, don't assume that God will always divert you around the storms. In life, you cannot always avoid storms. And God is not surprised if a storm comes into your life. Secondly, sometimes I believe it's God's will that he leads you right into the middle of a storm. You know, a lot of believers think that if you're a Christian, your life should be all calm, all quiet. You should not be having times of chaos and conflict in your life. But listen, we have to recognize that Jesus is not just in the calm and the quiet times of life. He's also in the chaotic. He's also in the windy, stormy times in our life. And thirdly, sometimes you just cannot even go where he wants to lead you. You cannot be a follower of Christ unless you're willing to head into the face of a storm. So do you agree with me on these points? Verse 24, the disciples went, woke him up shouting, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging storm, the raging waves. Suddenly the storm stopped and all was calm. Now I want you to notice what happened next. Or rather, I want you to notice what didn't happen next. Here's what didn't happen next. Right after Jesus rebuked the winds and the waves and everything calmed down, he did not rush over to his disciples, wrap his arms around us and say, men, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I fell asleep. I'm so sorry that I put you through this traumatic experience and in such danger. That didn't happen. What happened next? Verse 25. Then he asked him, "Where is your faith?" Just a point blank question. Where is your faith? Now, I'm not sure why he said that in the way that he said that, but here's what I think. It may have something to do with the fact that it seemed like they were totally faithless. Or it may be due to the attitude that they had, that, wow, we're over, it's done, we're finished, we're going to die. Or maybe it was the fact that here he was in the boat, in the same storm with them, and this is the way that they were reacting. But whatever it was, we've got to see. You can see clearly that Jesus expected them to find their faith in the middle of that storm. Listen, storms are inevitable. They're a part of our life. It's normal to have a storm happening in your life. So I say this, don't be shocked. Don't be surprised when a storm comes into your life. We are not always to be in the calms of life. So the question is this, the question is not if you're going through the storm. This question is when you're going through that storm. You know, in this life, you're going to experience disappointments. You're going to experience defeat. In this life, you're going to experience distractions, disappointments, despair, depression. But here's what 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says. Don't be surprised when you are tested by troubles or painful suffering, as if something unusual is happening to you. It's saying, don't be surprised. They're a part of life. They're inevitable. He says it's going to happen. On your PowerPoint, God's plan for your life actually contains both calms and storms. So don't say, why me? Why is this happening to me? Instead, say, why not me? I'm alive. Listen, I say this. You have problems in your life, not because you're a bad person. You have problems in your life because you are a patient person. You are a human being. You're going to have problems. So don't be surprised by the painful things that are happening to you in your life. You know, the Bible talks about Jesus, how he took on humanity. He became like a human. He took on human flesh and he faced all the challenges of life. Why did he do that? So that he could identify, so that he could empathize with us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Since all his children have flesh and blood, so Jesus became human to fully identify with us. Hebrews 4:15. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. See, he knows what it's like to have fear, to feel fear. Let's be honest, today we are living in one of the fiercest storms of our life. This threat of COVID-19 is not just in our homeland, it's on everybody's homeland. It's all over the world. We're seeing people dying. We're seeing hospitals being filled with sick people. We're seeing healthcare workers just stressed out and so tired. We're seeing our economy just getting rocked, both provincially and nationally. These are our national Canadian national debt is climbing close to $800 billion. And the U.S. debt is now well over $23 trillion. You know, there's a mounting fear of economic collapse. We're in a storm. You know, even for myself personally, last week, I was feeling anxiety. I was going through, I was having all these fearful thoughts coming into my mind, and I was losing sleep. I'd waken up in the middle of the night, all because of the circumstances that were happening in the church. I mean, everything was new. Everything was so different. And here I am, a pastor, and I'm supposed to be living by faith and walking by faith. And I'm struggling with my fears and insecurities and my anxieties. You know, our faith can be so impacted by the massive changes in our circumstances that are happening today. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says that God has given to each of us a measure of faith. God has given to every person, allotted every human being, a measure of faith. So God is the giver of our original faith, but it's our responsibility, yours and mine, to build on that faith. It's our responsibility to make our faith grow and to summon our faith. There are all kinds of things happening nationally, internationally, socially, all kinds of storms. There are all kinds of unknowns, and there are all kinds of questions. So here's the question. How do you practically summon your faith when you don't know what to do, when there's no one to help you? You know what you can do? Here's what you can do. You can go through this great acronym. Here's a great acronym for your faith. Here's a great tool that has really helped me, and I believe this is a tool that can help you when you don't know what to do. You know, it was one of my favorite preachers is Joel Osteen. And Joel Osteen says this: you got to find your faith in the storm. You got to find your faith in the storm. So how do you find your faith in the storm? How do you build up your faith? Here's the acronym. Here's how. F, focus on the positive. If you're going to have faith, you got to focus on the positive. You know, we can really so easily get fixated on the bad news, the negative news that's happening today. And if you get fixated on the crisis and the negative thing, what's going to happen is you'll literally miss out on the good things that God has for you. And you'll literally lose your peace, the peace in your heart, peace in your mind, the peace in your home, the peace in your family, the peace on your job. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, in this life you have trouble. But he also said these words, that we have an enemy. An enemy that comes to rob, to steal, and to destroy. What's he after? What's the enemy after? He's after your faith. He's after your confidence. He wants to make you doubt. Make you doubt that God is in control. Make you doubt that God is there for you and that God is there with you. Today I believe that God wants to do something in his people, in you and I. I believe he wants to shake something up in us, stir something up in us. And I believe in this hour of adversity, you and I are called to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, there's an old saying, it goes this way. When the going gets tough, you finish it. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. So instead of getting beat up by the devil from pillar to post, getting our knives knocked about by all these fears and worries and insecurities, what do? We stand up and we engage the enemy in the fight. How do we do that? On your PowerPoint, by addressing your fears, by focusing on your power, focusing on the positive. And here's another thing you can do: by speaking to your mountain. That's what Jesus said. Speak to your mountain. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus said, have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what they say or what they speak will happen, it will be done for them. Speak to your insecurity. Speak to that fear. Speak to that anxiety that's in your mind. Speak. Take control. Right? So here's another thing you could do. You can declare God's powerful word and positive word over your life. For every problem, for every fear, there's a scripture. There's a powerful word that you can use to dispel that fear and that anxiety. Scriptures like this: No weapon forged against me is going to prosper. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. But as for me, I trust in the name of my Lord. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord. Or we can say, like Paul told the Philippians, say these words, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Amen? Focus on the positive. A, affirm yourself by celebrating who you are. You're a born-again believer in Christ, and you are not of this world. You know, the world doesn't act. The world doesn't think like we believers think. While the world is freaking out, we believers, we can remain calm and cool and collective as believers. You know, I say this. This is a great time to be a believer in Christ. This is a great time to sing songs of joy. This is a great time to celebrate our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? No, there's this powerful old hymn called Hope, and it was written by a Baptist minister, Edward Mote, in the year 1836. And some of the words go like this. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Listen, it's time to get our roots down deeper into our faith. It's time to get closer to God. It's time to love God better. Amen? And it's time to do something else. It's time to partner. It's time to invest our resources, our time, you know, and our abilities to build the local church, into the local church. Why would we do that? Here's why. Because the local church is literally the hope of the world. It's our community of faith. It's the place where we grow our lives and our families. You know, it was Psalm 122, verse 1, where King David said, I was glad. I was so glad when he said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. You know, maybe we can't go there physically, but listen, we can be there online. We can be there virtually. Join us virtually in our small groups throughout the week. Join us every Sunday online as we preach the word of God. I say this, it's time that we get into the house of God. I imagine that God is doing something good. Imagine that he's doing something good during this time for you and through you. You know, we all have an imagination, but we all have a choice to imagine the best or we can imagine the worst. Ephesians 3, verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work with us. God is able to do immeasurably more according to what we can imagine and according to our faith. Amen? So I say this, it's not a time to hunker down. Hunker down. Yeah, we can protect ourselves from this virus thing, but it's not a time to literally draw inward in our heart and our attitude. It's not a time to get selfish with the resources within our time. It's not a time. In fact, it's the time that God's saying to us and reminding us that we're vessels of God and we're to be used for his purposes. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. I don't know about you, but that's what I want to be. I want to be a vessel for God. I'm a vessel. I'm meant to be set apart to be used by God. So are you. God wants to be useful. God wants you to be prepared for anything he's going to ask you to do. Amen? So let's get our faith imagination working. Let's imagine that he's with us, no matter what the circumstances, that God is working for us and he's going to work through us, that God is doing something good. T, trust God in everything. Proverbs 3 verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That was our scripture verse for our life when Karen and I got married. And so many times we went through times and we didn't understand what was happening. But the Lord would bring the scripture back to us. Trust in me. Trust in me with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me. Acknowledge me. And I'm going to direct your path. You know, our trust is not in the government. It's not in the political party. It's not in the economy. It's not in the health system. All of that is shaky ground. Our trust is based on the fact that we can trust in God, not just when times are good, but when times are difficult, when times are hard, when times are stormy, to trust in God. Verse 6 says, in all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. H, hope for the best. Hope for the best rather than the worst. Faith and hope are not logical. Let me say that again. Faith and hope are not logical. Faith and hope are not rational. Faith and hope are not reasonable. Sometimes we just need to say to ourselves, self, I need, and I see, you know, I say that I often say that to myself. Come on, Doug. Stop being so rational. Stop being so reasonable. Put your faith and trust in God. You know, on your PowerPoint, faith transcends logic and reason. Put your faith and trust in God because faith transcends logic and reason. And we see this in this scripture in Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope had believed. Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Why? Because he was 100 years old. Since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith, and he gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Romans chapter 4, verse 16, therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. And that's me and that's you. It's by walking by faith and not by sight. And it's by trusting God to work in the middle of the storm. Amen? So let's keep moving forward. Let's keep hoping for the best. So let's go back to the story. Luke chapter 8, verse 27 says that in fear and amazement, they, the disciples, asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the waves, and they obey him. These words, in fear and amazement, means like eye-popping amazement, astonishment. The Message version says, they were in absolute awe, staggered and stammering, who is this anyway? I want you to notice something. I want you to notice that the disciples were not amazed. They weren't so astonished that the storm was stopped. They weren't astonished at the new circumstances. What they were really amazed at was they were amazed at the man Jesus, who stopped the storm, who changed the circumstances. So the answer to the question, Christ's question, when he asked the disciples, where is your faith? The answer is this. First of all, it's not in the worthiness of their ship. It's not in their skill as mariners and sailors, but it was in the one who commanded the winds and the waves to die down and to be calm, and they obeyed him. That's where the faith and the trust needed to be. So here's the question. What really stands out in this story? Here's what stands out in the story. Two things stand out automatically. One of the things that stands out was on this, our human weakness. The weakness of the disciples, the same weakness that we can have because we are human beings. But here's the second thing that really stands out. The thing that really stands out is this. It's the beauty and the power of Jesus in the midst of the most terrible storm. Jesus' beauty and power that shines through our darkest storms. You know, when Karen and I got engaged, we went looking for a wedding ring. And we went to Higa's Jewelry on 13th Street North, which is not closed now, but it's been a while ago. But we went there and we looked at several rings. And the jeweler, Francis, every time we wanted to look at a certain ring, would take that ring from under the counter and he would put it on the counter, but he wouldn't just place it on the glass. He'd put it on a piece of black cloth. Now, why would he do that? Here's the reason why. Because when he put that diamond on that glass, on that black cloth, it caused the beauty and that brilliance of that diamond to really, to literally stand out, just pop out. So here's the thing. Sometimes God allows the storms, the black cloth in our life to be there. Why? So that the brilliance of his son Jesus might stand out while we're going through that circumstance. So when people see you going through the storm, maybe through that COVID virus storm, or through that cancer storm, or that unemployment storm, or that relational stress, when people see you going through that this storm, they will be amazed, not so much at the fact that you got delivered through the storm, but rather at the one who delivered you through that storm. Amen. And one thing that gives glory to God, when people stand strong, put their faith in God, endure, hang on to Christ, and get delivered through that storm. Amen. We got to recognize that He alone is God. He alone is our Father. And He alone is so, so good. You know, even in the darkest days, God says, I am there and I am there with you. So remember these five, these points, this acronym. Remember when you're going through the storm, focus on the positive. Affirm yourself. Imagine that God has something good for you. Trust God in everything and hope for the very best. Amen. Can you just bow your heads and agree with me in prayer? Father, I thank you that you're here watching over us. I thank you that your protection is so sovereign, it's so mighty. It's beyond what we can see in the natural. But we're fixing our eyes not on what we see, but rather on what we always don't see with our natural eye, but we can sense you and we can see you by the Spirit. So I thank you, Father. Father, I'm just praying for someone here right now. And I'm saying, this is your day to put your faith in Jesus Christ. This is your day to surrender your will to Him. This is your day to put your trust in Jesus and ask Him to be Lord and Savior of your life. And if you haven't done that, this is your day to pray this prayer. Will you pray this prayer after me? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you shed your blood on the cross to pay for my sins. Lord, I believe and I know that I am a sinner. And I ask you to forgive me for every sin that I've ever committed. And now, Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen and amen. And I want to say to you today, if you said that prayer, I want to say welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to a brand new life. Welcome to the church. And then if you said that prayer, will you please let us know? No, phone the line, phone the number on the screen. That's our church line. Let us know who you are, and we'll tell you what your next faith step in God will be. And we'll have a gift for you, a gift of the Bible and some other things as well. We want to help you in your walk with God. And you need to connect. You need to connect to not just to Christ, but you need to connect to the church. So I want to thank you for joining us today. And I believe that God has given us the power and the strength to be strong in these times. So let's face this challenge of storms with calm, with cool. Let's be collected and let's be connected. So I'm going to invite you once again to be connected. Join one of our virtual small groups that meets throughout the day. And you can do that by calling the church line, and we'll send you a link on how to get connected to one of our small groups. So I thank you for joining us today. It's so good to be with you online. And I just say,